is by the Word of God. Amen. We're told to examine ourselves. We do it every morning, basically, putting on makeup, combing our hair, clothes that we wear. I've joked around, and I'll come out without examining myself, and I'll make it to the dining room, and Pat goes, no, no. Get back in there and change that. And we examine ourselves on a regular basis, but the Lord God says, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. And that's more than just, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. No, it means, am I in the faith? Am I living and breathing and walking each and every day by the power of the Holy Spirit? Without the Holy Spirit, this Christian life is not hard. It's impossible. Amen. Don't ever try to kind of fluff it, eke our way through it. It's a total dependence on God. So that should affect the way that I order my life, if you would, the way that my life grows each and every day, which we should. We are born little infants, as we're going to see, and he's used infants in chapter 5 of Hebrews. But we grow and we mature, and not only physically do we do that, but we are commanded, which is a rough word for a lot of Christians these days. Boy, we don't like being told. But we're commanded to grow and to grow in his grace. And that's, you know, when we're talking, you know, growth seems like it's something hard, doesn't it? But have you ever seen an apple tree like really shaking and then out pops an apple? No, it's a process that when we're in the right soil, when we're in the right environment, when all of the system around us comes to play, growth happens. If we keep ourselves within that circle, that perimeter, that space that God has given us, when we keep ourselves in that with him, growth is just going to happen. When we stay in his word, growth is going to happen. When we fellowship with one another, growth is going to happen. So we're being instructed to look at our lives. And what I got the other night was Matthew 7. I said, let's turn there. And verse 24, there's a lot more, but we'll just take those. It says, therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And we're going to be talking in Hebrews about building. And here's the Lord saying, my life, your life. How's your building project going today? Boy, some of us take great pains when we think about a little mudroom or an addition to the house or whatever we might tack on. There's planning, there's investigation, there's, you know, checking out how much this item is going to cost and how we should use that one. And I wonder, how are my, I'm not talking about you, some plan going spiritually? For a time that's coming when the CO, the certificate of occupancy, is going to be handed, but it isn't going to be here, because the Lord says, behold, I come quickly. I come quickly. So how's my building project going? Because I'm not going to take any of the stuff of this world. The only thing that is going is the stuff that I sent already for the building project that's going on in heaven. None of the worldly stuff is coming with us. What have I built? What have I established? What am I leaving, in a sense, for those behind me that might not have that relationship with Christ now as an inheritance? And I pray that it's the Word of God. I pray that they can see maybe in you and your life and the way you, not every day, of course, none of us are perfect, but that someone could look and say, that individual truly believed. That person believed in a real God. And that would make them want that, just the taste, possibly. So 7, if you're there, 24. I want to be like a wise man in 24, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon the house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And our rock is not their rock, the unbelieving world that's out there. Jesus Christ? Am I building my house? Am I building my life? Is everything that I do have to do with him? Am I building on that, or are there some other systems going on? It says the rain descended in 25, floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house. It fell not because it was founded on a rock. It wasn't founded on me. It was founded on Jesus Christ. And he's made promises to each and every one of us that are yea and amen. And he will complete that good work that is already started in you and I. That's a guarantee. So when those floods of this world come, and when the storms come, and the things that assail us on a daily basis, when we want to run, please don't run. That was the problem that we're learning about these early Hebrews. The Jews that came out of Judaism, went to Christianity, they got tired. The persecution, the separation, the ridicule, whatever it might have been, the old rituals were so much easier. I just had to walk into church and do this or that. They were ready to go back. God's telling us today, don't. Don't give up. I've got you. So when we look upon the next ones here, it says, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them, be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. Anybody build a house on sand lately? Some of us knew what rains and floods. I'm looking at Danny, he knows. We know what rain and flood can do to dirt and sand, don't we? I mean, it's like destruction like you never thought possible. The rain descended, 27, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. So as we're looking at Hebrews chapter 6, I need to ask myself on a daily basis, how's the building project going? We do it every single day when we are building a vehicle, a car, our homes, whatever it might be, an IRA, retirement accounts. We focus on that physical, but I feel God is saying it's time to concentrate, to build, get moving on his spiritual plan that's going to be taking us from here to his glorious home. Hebrews chapter 6. We've been looking over the last few weeks at all these things, warnings by the Holy Spirit about taking heed to God's word. Don't take it lightly is what he's saying there. And we had another exhortation and encouragement. Don't miss his rest. You know, that's all. I'm so beat. I'm so tired. I just got to sit. We do that physically. But God is talking about a spiritual rest. God is offering us something that in the midst of all the physical exertion, there still can be a peace that comes over us that passes our understanding. And it's only the rest that God could give. How does this happen? How could my whole life be spinning out of control? How can everything be ready to fall apart, but yet I feel like I'm not in fear? That's because your house is being built on a rock. It's not, you're not watching it wash away. So as we look at this today, I hope we can keep that in corporately as a church. We haven't arrived. This isn't it. I mean, everything that's happened now, there's more. There's better yet to come. And in that building program, that sometimes as we age, which we all are, we slow down a little bit. But spiritually, we should have that Caleb mentality that says, give me that mountain. I'm well able to take it. I can do this. Or is that little voice inside saying, I know I can do this through Christ, but I really don't want to. So that's what the writer of Hebrews is starting to encourage these individuals about wanting to. Let's get moving. Let's build on what it is that the Lord has given to us. And one of the warnings in 6, as we look at it, is against laziness, dullness, if you would, dullness of hearing. Not that, you know, we're just like an Eeyore, Laziness and dullness of hearing and lack of growth in our lives. You know, Jesus Christ saved us because he didn't want us where we were. Most of us didn't want to be where we were. That's why we came to Christ. But Christ loves us enough that he's not going to leave us where he found us. There's a growth that needs to be implemented, encouraged on a daily basis. So this is against apostasy, if you would, also. Hebrews 6, chapter 1, therefore. And if there's a therefore in the Word of God, stop, look, and see what it's there for. Everything that he said so far, we're supposed to put it into a context. It's not just a separate little scripture. Remember, the 1, 2, 3, and 4 are additions. This was a letter. This was an epistle written. And we're supposed to take all of it and continue in its flow. So I would encourage us that after today, we're going to do 1 through 3, possibly with the time. Go back into 1. When you're getting ready for next week to read verse 4, go back into Hebrews 1 and start reading right up to it and then read again. That way it's going to be in our minds, in our hearts, and we'll start to see the direction that God is trying to take us. Therefore, and that therefore, spiritual exercise, spiritual examination, it's the purpose of it is not to make our lives unhappy or, you know, gee, I wish I was still having fun out there. The purpose for spiritual exercise, the purpose for this word, study, fellowship, coming to church, it's so that we, in chapter 5, verse 15, to discern both good and evil. Now, I feel the church today and a lot of individuals are lacking a lot of, we're lacking, somebody said, I'm lacking a car, I'm lacking money, I'm lacking this or that. We're lacking spiritual discernment on a daily, regular basis. We look at things and we assume. The Word of God says that the things that are seen are temporal. The things that are unseen are eternal. So what God is saying, I want you in here, Doug. I want my word to live and dwell in you richly so that you might be able to discern both good and evil because they both exist out in this world. And unfortunately, they exist within the church of God too. So he says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, or that's maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permit. Father God, open our understanding. Help the world to just remain silent out there as we try to hear what it is you're saying to each and every one of us as individuals, as your children, and as a church, Lord, that you've put here on a hill, a lighthouse. So help us, Lord, to understand. Help us to hear the direction that you're taking each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I look at that beginning, leaving. Oh, forget about it. That's not what he's saying there. He's saying, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Leaving the principles means let's go forward. And in its original Greek, it says, let's be carried along forward by this word. And we'll know there's other scriptures as we might get to them. The early prophets, they were carried along. That's the same word. Let God carry us. You ever get so tired some days you don't even want to walk from the couch to get the potato chips? You know, Pat, would you get me those? I want to make it as real as we can, and it's not leaving. And these Jews were ready to leave. They were ready to leave what they learned. All those things that we just are getting into with the basic six tenets, if you would, of the Old Testament when it came to their religion. Paul's saying, okay, now you know this. And whether you want to look at that stuff as repentance from dead works. We could take those, some of the things we do today are just dead works. We don't do them in his name. Faith towards God. We need to get beyond this. He's saying, let's build on this. Don't abandon what you've learned, but build on it. Build on what you've received. Get a deeper understanding, if you would. And sometimes that gets pretty hard. And if I don't understand, it's time to dig. You know, Chuck Smith used to say, or he said to us at a pastor's conference when somebody said, I don't understand. And Chuck's answer was, God never asked us to understand everything. He just asked us to believe it. Wow. Because if we sit there and say, well, I don't understand, we can be in that ditch we were talking about last week, being stuck spiritually. And there's no reason that we shouldn't understand if we ask God for the wisdom, because he says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask and he's going to give it. It's going to take work, though. Trust me. There is nothing you could sit. I sat this morning on a whipped cream air-filled canister, and I couldn't get the thing to work, and I read the directions 5 times this morning trying to get whipped cream for Pat and I for coffee. And I couldn't talk to anybody else about it. But, you know, if I don't understand this and I'm reading the directions, if I stop and I keep looking and I keep reading, and all of a sudden God says, well, go look at 1 Corinthians 13. And I look at that, it starts to come together. Let's build on the things that we know. You know, I talk to people, I don't know about the rapture. Why not? It's in here. Now, whether you believe in pre, mid, or post, that's up to you, or the pan theory. Why don't we understand these things? It's because we're not building on the foundation that we have. And anybody who's ever built a house, if you build a foundation and leave your lumber all out there in the weather, and it rains on it, and the sun beats on it, and then it snows on it, you don't have much of a house to build, do you? The parts are going to warp. The things are going to get useless. They'll crack and everything. In the spirit, it's the same for us. We need to build. So don't think that what we're hearing here is, you know, leave it or whatever. No, we need to build upon it. Build upon the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let's go on to maturity. What are those doctrines of Christ? There's so many of them. But the things that I think everyone can build on in simplicity, stick something in Hebrews 6 if you would. Go to Genesis 1. The first things of Christ, the principles of Christ, those beginning doctrines. How do I build on that? Well, we build on it that in my heart, as of today, as I've just heard this word, because every word of God that we hear, we will be responsible for one day. That's a scary thought. And I'm not in any way trying to scare anybody, but if I've heard it, I can't say, well, I never knew that. So the leaving the basic principles, what are the basic principles? They're so simple, but they are found in between all these pages. Verse 1 of Genesis 1 says, in the beginning, God. Now, he doesn't say who he was, how he got there. This is the basic principles right off the bat. God created the heaven and the earth. What? Yes, let's build on that. It didn't come out of the sky, hit a mud puddle, and an amoeba jumped out of it. Maybe, it, you know, I don't know, but God did whatever it was. Period, amen. In the beginning, God. Turn to Micah 5:2, if you would. It's page 1003 in your King James. The beginning principles. Let's build on this. Let's make sure that I have this in my heart, strong and steady, and I'm not afraid to stand there and say that God created this universe that we live on. I'm sorry. It wasn't some aliens that flew in from outer space and gave us voodoo technology to have a cell phone in your ear. If you want to talk about that later, I will, you know, because that is truly some witchcraft. How does that happen? How does all that fly through when I'm going to call Don on his cell phone? Remember payphones, Don? Weren't they great? How does that happen? And there's hundreds of things out there. Well, you know what? God. In the beginning, God. And everything from there, we need to build on that. Well, I told us, let's turn to Micah 5, verse 2. It says, but thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though you be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come. The basic beginnings of Christ. He shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting, from the days of eternity. That's something that we have to build on. There is no other. And John, if you would, John 1:1, we all more than likely know this one. But building on these things, again, is what the writer is telling us. It says, in the beginning, again, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, you know, some of us say, well, Jesus Christ, I believe in God, but this Jesus and the Holy Spirit stuff, no. If you get the Trinity wrong, it doesn't matter what you get right after that. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, three persons of the Trinity, three in one. Let's not argue about these things anymore. Let's not just stay on that foundation that somehow we need to build is what the Holy Spirit is telling us today, and we need to build on this foundation. When my foundation is there, I won't be moved. But if all of a sudden I think, well, maybe there was another God. Well, maybe Jesus wasn't his son. Maybe he was just trying to make some big statement to everybody. And no, I have to have this rock solid. This has to be my foundation that I build my life on and then watch what God can do. But if there's questions in our heart and there's questions in our mind about the things that we hear and see out there today, it's going to be like being built on sand. It's time now that we jump up onto the rock. Don't be moved. So let's go back, if we would, into Hebrews. So he's telling us again, build on the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Go on to maturity, not laying again all of these other foundations. So we're being told it's time to build. When is it time to start? I always found like diets were great on Monday. I don't know why Monday was the day. It could be Ross isn't here today, so maybe Sunday's a good day. No cheesecake today. Why is it that we kind of procrastinate a little bit on this building project when we know that God is telling us, do it? And I think that the things that we fear about God being my whole life, because God doesn't want to be part of your life. He wants to be your life. He wants us to build on that. And after that, everything will follow. Turn to 2 Peter. How do I build on my life? How do I build on that foundation? Well, you're saved, and I wouldn't do it, but I want to do it. Who here isn't in a relationship with Jesus Christ? Isn't. That's an old J. Vernon McGee. And if you're sleeping, say amen, and you need a whole amen. If you're not saved, you don't have anything but sand to build on today. And whatever you build, no matter how beautiful it is, very shortly it's going to fall. But if you're in Christ and you've already started that foundation, then he's saying build on it. So I ask, well, what does that mean? Do I have to be a missionary? Do I have to go on knocking on doors and hanging Bibles on doorknobs? Maybe, if that's what God wants you to do. But listen to God's building program of growing in grace. In verse 5 of 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, well, I might even go up one more in 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. And remember, Jesus, God is not a man that he should lie. Every one of his promises to you and to I that he gives us are yea and amen. And he's given us great and precious promises, a word that's not used much anymore, precious. Some of us might remember when we looked down at children, when little babies, and said, oh, he's precious. Why don't we use these words anymore? Because these promises that God has given us are precious. And that by these promises, you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That knowing the good and evil again, why do we desire a picture when we have a person? Why should we want anything out there other than Christ? So I want to start building, so that's where I go every day, somehow, just to love him a little bit more. My building project starts in 5 then. And besides this, besides your faith that you already have, give all diligence, not just give it a shot when you have time. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Now, some in the, Ma, what do you have, an NIV? Virtue is another word we don't use too much anymore.
Goodness.
So add to your faith goodness. And to goodness, knowledge. And that's knowledge. That's a full knowledge of Jesus Christ. Not just a little bit. Oh, I don't know about that. Oh, I don't care about that. If we're in Christ, we're being commanded to grow and to build. And to the knowledge, temperance. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And the godliness, brotherly kindness. And the brotherly kindness, charity or love. That's the end game, if you would, on this building project. God is moving us in the time that we're in right now. The building that he wants isn't that we know every single, you know, doctrine that's possible. We can explain it. We can argue it. We can debate it. God wants us putting this word into shoe leather, going out there in the little bit of time that we have left and letting his glory be known. I mean, it's that simple. As simple as, you know, I love you, Lord. I want to love you more today. And that can happen. That's a building project, because when I love the Lord more tomorrow than I did today, my life starts growing. It goes in the direction of upwards, forward. You know, Pat and I are married a long time. No, 54 years, I think, we're married. And thank you anyhow. That's a work that this lady should get around for, I guess, living with me. But when I started realizing that God's building project, he wants me to love him more than I did the first day I met him. And my love for God will grow if I let it. If I apply things, and I look in a physical, and like I said, 54 years, and I realize I love, and I'm not doing this for any kind of, that's beautiful. I love Pat more than I did on January 20th, 1968, right? Am I got that one? I love him more. One time I forgot it, and she sat there all day, and finally she looks and she goes, "You don't even know what day it is, do you?" And I said, "It's January 20th. Oh, my goodness. Love isn't love. It's not meant to be locked away someplace and held here in doctrines and dogma. And I don't smoke and I don't drink and I don't cuss and I don't do much of anything, is what Pete told his co-pilot one day. Well, you don't do much of anything. Love is meant to be given away. Love is meant to grow. And when I see a love for Christ growing in individuals' lives, and that excitement, and like Rick, the overwhelmingness about a God of the universe who loves us, when I see that growing, your marriage is going to grow. Your desire to be married, if you're not to someone, it'll grow. It'll just keep on blossoming and growing, because that's the way that God has prepared it. But if we don't, again, it's just like where we started, just a sinking sand, just a washing away, very slow erosion to a point where it might be irreparable. So we're to add all this stuff in this building project, just like a child is intended to grow. Shiloh's as cute as can be right now, isn't he? And just not saying the first word yet, and when he looks at you or does funny things, but when he's 23 and he's still sitting there and you're carrying him around, that's unacceptable, isn't it? Baby talk is beautiful, but I'm hearing more and more adult talking like a little baby when it comes to Christ. When we hear people use our Lord's name in vain, that's a time that we should be on a rock and stand there and say, "Excuse me, that's my Lord and Savior, and he could be yours." There's little things that God is asking to build on, not just let them go. So the building project is going to be quite something. trying to figure out what to leave out. And I don't want to leave out any. Let me have one more. Isaiah 43, if you would. And I know I'm told, I'll be told again by Taffy, stop worrying about the time. But a great pastor that I came up under told me that the mind can only absorb what the other part can endure. Don't go too long. And as far as building goes, building on those principles is where we were in verse 1 of the doctrines of Christ. And yes, this was written, Old Testament, but its application is for us today. It's about the Lord being the only Redeemer. It's about Christ's coming, being foretold, his first coming. And he is coming again. Are we ready? It says, but now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel. And we can put our names in there. Yes, it was to Israel, but this has application to Doug Gibney. Fear not, for I've redeemed thee. I've called thee by a name. Thou art mine. If we could hear that on a daily basis, what's the first thing you do when you're on a building project, guys? I do at least. You crank the stereo, right? Get it up as loud as you can. Finish the last thing of coffee and get moving, and the music moves you. Can you imagine if we could hear the Lord on the building project saying, hey, Doug, hey, Jim, hey, Pat, I've called you by name. You're mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. How about that one? Is it part of my building project? You ever have just a beautiful day, everything's going right, and one word, one situation blows that right out of the water, and you're ready to spit and kick and run around? Sand. But if I hear my Lord saying, Doug, Pat, Shannon, Jenny, you lost the one that means everything to you, but I'm with you. And you guys have lost somebody. And maybe it's getting you to a point, like these Jewish believers, I'm just so done. I'm done with life. I'm done with trying. It just never seems to work. If part of my building plan is to understand when I read, just like a set of blueprints, the Lord's saying, when the floods come, I'm with you. When the river overflows everything and takes away everything you got, I'm with you. The fire, I'm with you. That's building on the principles of Christ. That's getting to know him. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for a ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee, since thou wast precious. And there it is again in my sight. Building on it. Stop thinking about, oh, I'm a miserable person and I'm this or that. You, if you're in Christ, and if you're not yet, just realize you're precious in his sight and has been honorable. And I've loved thee. Therefore, I will give men for thee and people for thee life. Fear not. Whatever something is happening today to you, I know there's problems in this house today. But God's saying, fear not, for I'm with you. I'll bring your seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I'll say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Verse 7, for everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Forgive me if I offend anybody, but you know, be offended till you can be offended no more is a good program for your life. But building on the first principles of Christ, going back to Hebrews 1, please read this and take heed to this. I've created I've formed, he says, and I've made. God made man and woman. Period. Amen.
Amen.
Well, what does that have to do with building? We are being moved. We are being swayed. We're being, just like those Jews, persecuted to a degree to where they wanted to go back. Well, there might be 52 different identities. God didn't make a mistake when he created you and me, man and woman, kids. He knew exactly what he was doing. And my building project now has got to shore up a very weak spot in the building project because, oh, well, whatever, then, whatever, if that's what you want to believe. Don't, if you have opportunity and somebody is saying that, and don't be arrogant. This is, again, this is done in love. No, 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 no. Where did you get that? Let's go to the Word of God and see, how did he build this house that we want to get to? Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let's get out there and witness. Let all nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified. And let them hear and say that it's truth. Verse 10, you are my witnesses. What? There's the... Let's leave the principles. Let's stop arguing if it's pre, mid, or post. This church is built on pre. We're going in the rapture. And if for some reason, you know, you don't buy that, well, then the building is yours when we're gone. But, and that's not even really funny. You're my witnesses, says the Lord, my servant whom I've chosen. That's you. Build on this. I'm somebody. It's not that I'm nobody. It's not that I'm not good enough or whatever else. You're my witnesses, said the Lord, my servant whom I've chosen, that you might know and believe me and understand that I am he. That's what he's talking about to these Jews who knew this stuff when they were getting ready to just kind of take a hiatus. And understand that I am he, before me there was no God formed. And that real, I think in its real reading is nothing formed of God. Neither shall there be after me. I, even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Uh-oh. Well, what about the pygmy? What about, you know, this guy or that guy? Let's worry about whose ears are hearing today. God is saying there is no other Savior. There is no other name in Acts under heaven by which a man or a woman might be saved, must be saved. There's so many of those. No man comes to the Father except through the Son. In my building project now, in the last days that I have left to go on in this world, yes, I have to go out tomorrow and do my job and work and, you know, raise the children and clean the house and do the dishes and cook. And the husband gets a pat on the back for a great barbecue after you went out and bought all the stuff. After we do all that, what are we doing in my personal building project to stand firm that there is no other Savior? I better get building on this because these Jews were going to try something else. And I guess God is trying to speak to me and through me in a sense. There isn't any other way, guys. We got to build on him. Rock foundation, firm foundation. Don't give in to all the cries of this world. Very short is our time. And the only way that I'm going to be able to get beyond those six items that we'll get next week that Paul was talking about is that I get the Word of God in me. And I know I said one more, okay? Just one, and not the whole thing. Psalm 119. Oh, we all know that, but how many have actually really read it and meditated on it? See, the word Selah means think about this after you read it. And I'll just blow it off and say, well, I don't buy that. Think about this. Take Psalm 119. This is going to be part of my building program again. If you would, I want to try to get a little closer to the Lord than I was yesterday. Get rid of some stuff that I know isn't pleasing to myself, my wife, my grandkids, my great-grandkids. I want to make that better in the time that I have so that they can see Jesus. They remember how great-grandpa is and great-grandpa because he does nothing but buy them everything they want. I want to get beyond that. I want something that's going to last for these children. Grammy, Poppy, they were always praying, let's say. I want something like that to last. So how does my building project line up with Psalm 119? And just start looking at it's the word, it's the word, it's the word. It's the application of the word. In verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep your precepts. Let's start with that. Diligently keep them. And when he says do it, do it. In verse 9, it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto, according to your word. 15, I'll meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto your ways. Well, that's the word, the word, the word. I delight myself in your statutes. That's his word. I will not forget your word. What's my delight today? What's my delight? New car, new fishing rod, new house. New place to go live. Without Christ, it's not going to be anything. It's sinking sand. I've said it before. When I left Harlem, a cop that was ready to retire just looked at me and said, why are you going to Colorado? I said, because I'm done with this lifestyle. I'm sick of it. And he said, you know what? You're just going to take your own bad self with you. Amen. And man, was he right. When I got here, Doug Gibney of the old day was just waiting for me. Building. So we can either just leave everything set, and unfortunately, it's not going to progress. But I fear that if we build on his word, we're in for some unbelievable, unexpected, miraculous things, if you would, in our lives. So, Father, thank you. I hope all this somehow goes together and just help us to be carried by you, Lord. Especially when the floods, the fires, and everything seems to be overwhelming to us, that we fear we can't even make another day. That we would look to you, Father God, that you would pick us up, carry us for the time we need to, and help us to get going. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Where's Seth? There he is. Let's have a song to close, Seth.